Chapter 8. Nori was a bitten for only a minute, but during that minute, she got a lot done. She chewed up one of Ms. Starr's paperbacks and knocked over the sunflowers on her desk. She ran 3 times around the classroom and then decided to build another beaver lodge. It was only when bitten Nori tried to gnaw on Ms. Starr's chair leg that the metal taste snapped her back to her Nori self. She was under her teacher's desk. "Please, let this be a bad dream," she thought.
"What the zum-zum was that?" a voice asked.
"Whatever it wasn't normal," a second voice replied. "It had teeth like a beaver."
"It was too small to be a beaver. The back end was all fluffy and black."
"We didn't see it long enough to tell. Now we know what's wrong with her, that's for sure."
And then Ms. Starr's voice. "Class, let this be a chance for us to learn the first lesson of upside-down magic. There is nothing wrong with any of you. We will not use that word to describe ourselves."
"Wonky, then."
"We won't use wonky either. It's not polite or kind. Instead, we will say different or upside down," said Ms. Starr. Nori climbed out from under the desk. A cluster of faces looked down at her. Some were concerned. Others were just curious.
"I'm all right," she said. She was hot with shame. "Sorry."
"Do you need to go to the nurse?" asked Ms. Starr.
"Oh, no," said Nori. "That just happens sometimes. It's fine."
"Well, we're all here to figure out how to manage our particular kinds of magic in every situation, even times of stress," said Ms. Starr. "And the first day of school is stressful for all of us, even me. Nori, you've just done a lovely job showing us what kind of magic you have, which is how I want to start the day anyway." She gestured for all the kids to return to their seats. Nori took the desk beside Elliot. Ms. Starr went to the front of the room and hopped up to sit on her desk.
"I'm very happy to be here. I just finished my teacher training in UDM, and I'm looking forward to working with you this year."
"Do you know this is the first UDM class Dunwiddle has offered? Isn't that exciting?" She swung her feet, and her bright yellow sneakers swished through the air. "As for you guys, you're here because someone thinks you should be. Because someone called you wonky or broken, or worse."
"Nothing like a positive message to start the day," Elliot whispered to Nori.
"But guess what?" Ms. Starr's face broke into a grin. "I've been called wonky and different too. And I speak from experience when I say, there are ways to make the most of your magic, whether it's typical or not. I am here to help you get in touch with your nature, to understand your emotions, and to develop skills. With these ideas in mind, I'd like to invite each of you to show us your magic." Her manner was joyful, as if they were sharing a secret, a good secret. She turned to the blonde boy with the thuggish eyebrows, although perhaps his eyebrows weren't quite so thuggish after all. His eyes were round and earnest, and a tuft of hair stuck up from the top of his head. He actually looked nice, if nervous.
"Sebastian," Ms. Starr said, "would you like to go first? Say something about yourself, and then share your magic."
Sebastian stood. His chair scraped the floor.
"My name is Sebastian. I'm a kind of flicker," he said. "Only I can't turn invisible, and I can't turn other things invisible either."
"What do you do then?"
"I see sound waves. They are invisible to most people."
"Are there sound waves coming from me?" Ms. Starr asked.
"If there weren't, you'd be dead."
Sebastian looked startled when some of the kids laughed.
"Why is that funny?" he asked. "Sound waves are very important. When you talk or breathe or when your heart beats, sound waves. They're zooming all over the room."
He waved his hands wildly.
"Zoom! They overlap a lot. It's pretty complex."
"What's the point?" asked the other boy in the front row.
Nori thought he sounded rude. Also, he wore a t-shirt with a skull and crossbones on it, and Nori imagined him picking out that shirt on purpose so that people would know right away what kind of boy he was.
the kind to wear a skull and crossbones t-shirt.
Seeing sound waves, he went on, what good does it do you?
They're all around us, said Sebastian.
And?
I see other invisible things, too.
Whatever, said the boy.
Nori felt depressed. First, Elliot had ditched her for his flare friends. Then, the girl she liked turned out to be Pepper the Fierce. Then, she'd turned into a bitten in front of everyone. The skull and crossbones boy was mean. There wasn't much of a bright side to this day.
Thank you, Sebastian, Ms. Starr said. I know it's not easy to go first.
She turned to the skull and crossbones boy.
Bax, would you like to go next?
No.
Nori expected Ms. Starr to say that he had to, but instead she smiled sweetly.
No problem. I'll come back to you later.
How about you, Elliot?
Elliot stood. He shifted uneasily and patted down his big hair.
Flare, he said.
Flare and? Ms. Starr prompted.
Flare and freezer, said Elliot, his eyes down.
Would you show us, please?
Ms. Starr looked genuinely excited.
Here, I have a glass of water. Would you like to freeze it?
I can do regular flare stuff, too, said Elliot. Some of it, anyway.
You can do that later, said Ms. Starr. Let's start with freezing the water.
Elliot waved a hand. The water iced over right away. Then, the ice shot down Ms. Starr's hand and up her sweater.
Elliot, stop! She cried.
Elliot stopped before the ice reached her neck. He covered his hands with his face.
It's really wonky. I'm sorry.
We don't say wonky, Ms. Starr corrected. Remember? We say different. Boys and girls, Elliot is an upside-down flare. Thinking about opposites is a great place to start understanding unusual magic.
She said all this while taking off her frozen yellow sweater and pulling a spare cardigan out of a cupboard.
I came prepared, she said cheerfully. That's one of the things we learned in UDM teacher training.
She put on the new cardigan. It was bright orange.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Elliot. Now, Andres, are you ready?
Everyone looked up.
I think it's pretty obvious what my magic does, Andres said gloomily.
With a grunt, he pushed off the ceiling. His body drifted a foot toward the floor, then flew back to the ceiling as if he were being jerked by a yo-yo string. He bounced a few times before coming to a stop. The girl next to Nori raised her hand. She was light-skinned and wore her dark hair pulled back in a high ponytail. She was dressed in funky red and black striped pants and big boots. In her ear, Nori spotted a hearing aid.
What happens if you go outside? The girl asked Andres.
I'm on a leash. I'm sure you all saw my sister walking me to school.
What would happen if she let go? The girl persisted.
I don't know. And I don't want to find out, Andres said.
What an awful magic to have, Nori thought. At least when I turn into a bitten, I can turn back.
She had little time to feel sorry for him, though. Ms. Starr had moved on and Pepper was rising from her desk. She kept her eyes on the ground.
It's fine, Pepper, Ms. Starr said. Really?
Pepper hunched her shoulders. She said something Nori couldn't make out.
A demonstration would be best, Ms. Starr answered gently. Do you need a volunteer? A fluxer, perhaps, since your magic works on animals? I'll get some kids from the 7th grade class.
She picked up the phone, and less than a minute later, 2 7th graders came in the room. A boy and a girl. Pepper sighed.
We're all here for you, Pepper, Ms. Starr encouraged. Don't worry.
All right. Do either of you do crocodile? Pepper asked.
The 7th graders shook their heads.
That's really advanced, said the girl. How about a bear?
No large carnivores until the end of high school, said the boy.
In 5th, we mastered all different colors of kitten, the girl volunteered. I was hoping for something that wasn't little and cute, Pepper muttered. The nicer the animal, the worse this makes me feel.
Kittens are fine, Ms. Starr said. Let's see.
As if she'd flipped a switch, both 7th graders transformed into teensy kittens, one orange and one calico. They were really good kittens, Nori thought.
feeling a little jealous. Perfect whiskers, perfect stripes and spots. Not a touch of dragon anywhere. Moving slowly, Pepper knelt down to the kittens. She held out her hand the way a person does to cats when the person wants to say, "I'm safe, see? Come sniff me." The calico's tail stood straight up. Her legs went rigid. She yowled a horrible, high-pitched yowl, then fled the room in a blur. The orange kitten cowered and hissed. He tried to escape by crawling up the wall, his tiny claws scrabbling at the white paint. Pepper was clearly the scariest animal these kittens could imagine. Ms. Star cleared her throat. "All right, all right. Thank you for showing us your power, Pepper. Let them relax now."
"But I can't," said Pepper desperately. "I can't turn it on or off. They just hate me."
"Hmm," said Ms. Star. "Pepper, would you mind going down the hall? Way down the hall, just until everyone calms down." Twin spots of color appeared on Pepper's cheeks as she slunk out of the room.